In the Holy Gospel this morning, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, yesterday was day one of the California Coast Classic, where I joined 194 other riders, leaving San Francisco about 8:30 in the morning, and we made our trek down the coast of California to the city of Santa Cruz, arriving there yesterday afternoon. It was an 84-mile ride and about close to 5,000 feet of elevation gain between San Francisco and Santa Cruz. The first of 8 days in our 522 miles down the coast of California. This is all to raise funds for the Arthritis Foundation. Had you asked me 6 years ago when I started this ride if I would still be involved, I certainly would have told you no. In fact, I knew nothing about the Arthritis Foundation, and I knew little about arthritis. But they were advertising this ride, and that caught my attention, so I signed up. And now this is my 7th year riding. I've gotten to learn quite a few things about arthritis, meet a ton of people who have it, and surprisingly, many parents of children who have been diagnosed with arthritis. It was always something that I thought was an old person's disease, but to have come to learn that there are 300,000 children afflicted with this disease in the United States alone totally took me aback. Each year, when I consider should I come back or not, it seems like something happens where I feel God calling me to continue being part of this worthy cause. I have my bicycle back there in the entryway. You maybe saw that the machine as you entered the church today. There's also a basket back there if you would like to contribute toward the cause. I want to thank so many of you who have done so. I also want to be clear that I don't want to take away from the offering that you have planned to make here this morning. The ministry and mission of our Lord here at Emmanuel is separate. But oftentimes we will invite you to make an over and above donation. That's what that would be if you so choose. If you would like to donate with credit card, let me know and I can send you a link if I have not done so already. I ride for a team called Team Carter, and Carter is a boy who is now 9 years old. His grandfather, Jerry, put a team together to participate in this ride down the coast. And yesterday, before we left San Francisco, I caught up with Jerry and I asked him how Carter was doing. Carter was diagnosed with juvenile, I always forget how to say this, ankylosing, where's my word, spondylitis, before he was 4 years old. Now, at age 9, Carter has continued to grow up with this disease. When he was 4 years old, he would go in for infusions once every 4 weeks. The infusions last for about 5 hours. Since then, they've extended once every 6 weeks, and then once every 8 weeks. But that was too far, and now he's back to once every 4 weeks. He goes in for these infusions so that he can make do with the pain that he experiences. Carter has learned to surf, and so the jersey that you see back there hanging from my bicycle shows a picture of Carter on a surfboard. I'll be wearing that jersey as I ride solo today from Santa Cruz to Monterey to catch up with the other 194 riders who are riding as we worship this morning. Well, as I was sharing this information on Facebook with my friends on Facebook, a member of our congregation wrote some words of encouragement to me. And at the end, she wrote, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Our thoughts and prayers are with you." This has become part of our national vocabulary, part of our national dialogue, and even our national debate. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to realize that when we pray, we are praying to you, the one who has all power, the one who acts even before we pray. And so we pray that you would give us new insight and encourage us in our prayer lives to remind us of how powerful prayer can be because of the one to whom we pray. And we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, the great tennis pro, Arthur Ashe, almost forgot his name, has said, "True heroism is remarkably sober and undramatic. It is not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever cost." And it seems to me that we are in need of real heroes in our world today more than we have ever been. For the needs out in our world are great, the suffering is intense, and the answers to our problems seem to be further away than ever. We have mass shootings, it seems, in our country almost on a daily basis. I remember just a few weeks ago hearing news reports about the latest. After the newscasters were sharing about what had happened, the newscaster then said, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you." We have heard the same words from politicians' lips, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you." And it almost seems like an empty phrase these days. Seems like just words, but nothing really behind it. Or almost as an excuse. We can just say those words, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you," and then we can stand back and do nothing about it. But I would submit to you today that we need to redeem those words, "Our thoughts and prayers." And when we tell other people that we are thinking of them and we are praying for them, we need to follow up with that. We need to be sincere, and we need to take those requests and bring them to the feet of our Lord Jesus. Now, when we pray, Part of that is a relinquishing of the problem to God. Part of that is realizing our own powerlessness, realizing that the need is greater than what we can supply, and so we bring it to God. And we put it in God's hands, so to speak. But our prayers do not end there. They should not end there. For when we pray, we should also have a willingness and a commitment toward participating in being part of the answer to those very prayers. It's a relinquishing to a power greater than ourselves, but also a willingness and a commitment to do what we can as God works upon our hearts to direct us when we pray. Now the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor, about praying. And he says, first of all, I urge that prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made. First of all, of first importance, of highest priority. Don't let this be the last thing you do at the end of the day, because you'll probably fall asleep and not get it done. Have it be the first priority for you, Paul says to Timothy. Now, Paul goes on to say that these prayers are to be made on behalf of whom? On behalf of everyone, Paul says. No one is to be excluded in our prayers. Now, if you've been attending Emmanuel for any time at all, you know that on a regular basis, we pray for our leaders, those who are in authority over us, even as the scripture bids us to do. And on a rotating basis, we pray for our president and vice president. We pray for our senators here in California, Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein. We pray for our governor, Gavin Newsom. And we pray for our mayor of Saratoga, Manny Capello, as we will this morning, and the Saratoga City Council. And then we repeat. So every 4 weeks, that's what we do. But if you do not come on a regular basis, and we have visitors all the time here at Emmanuel, you might not know that that's what we do, that we have this rotating list that we pray for. In fact, I remember somebody coming and confronting me after church, a visitor. This was in the days when President Obama was serving, and confronted me after the service and said, "Well, Pastor, do you pray for Republicans too?" And I assured her, yes, we do. For Democrats, Republicans, whoever is in leadership, we pray for them. I've also had people come to me following a Sunday service and say, you know, when you pray for President Trump or Vice President Pence, it gets to me. It bothers me. It grates on me. As if the prayers are in support of policy. It's never that way. The prayers are for the leadership, that God would guide, that God would grant wisdom, that God would grant humility, or that God would grant a change of heart if that is needed. We are called to pray for our leaders, whatever political side of the aisle they sit, right? Everyone is to receive our prayers, Paul says. Prayers, requests, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And so long as there is anyone excluded, then we need to keep praying. Our prayers are not only for our leaders. The surprise comes to realize that those prayers are for us as well, to change our hearts so that we will be supportive of all of God's beloved children. We are to pray for salvation, for transformation, for good to come. And we are to engage ourselves in those things where we feel are not right out there. If there's something that's not right, we can pray for a change of heart, and then we can personally engage in that matter. Paul goes on to tell Timothy that God desires all to be saved. Think about that this morning. God desires all to be saved, even though we may not. And so long as there are people that we would exclude from those pearly gates, that we hope will not be in heaven when we get there, because it would just make our lives miserable, so long as that is the case, we have more praying to do until our will lines up with the will of God, who desires all to be saved. We are bid by God to continue to pray for our leaders and for every person, because every person matters to God, as we have heard week after week. Paul goes on to say that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men, that we are saved by grace through Jesus and through Jesus alone. And so even as Jesus is mediator, when we go to pray on behalf of someone else, when we do what is called intercessory prayer, we are also serving in that mediator role. We are coming to God on behalf of our friends who have needs. And we engage beyond the prayer, as I mentioned already, with a willingness and a commitment to follow through. Now, on the inside of your bulletin, on the inside back cover, is a list of a prayer list of a whole bunch of names. You probably have seen this. You see this week after week. Jack sends an email out with this list to you. If you're on the email list, you see these names. Now, some of these names you might be familiar with. I want to encourage you to take this seriously, to lift up these prayers to God on behalf of your brothers and sisters. There are, I'm sure, names on that list that you know, you don't know who these people are, you don't know what the situation is. But I would encourage you to take one of those names. Just take one of those names that you don't even know who the person is, but pray for that person on a regular basis. Do it for a whole week. And then you might just be surprised. You might be surprised to hear their name a little bit later and learn something about them. Or you might be blessed with meeting that person face to face. And then what can you say? Then you can say, you know, Mary, I never have met you until today, but I've been praying for you. Can you imagine how important that would be if someone told you that? If someone approached you and said, I've been praying for you, Susan. I've seen your name. I didn't know what the situation was, but I saw your name on our church prayer list. I've been praying for you. This can get us deeper into real ministry. For it might be just a name to you, but you can inquire, you can ask me, you can call the church office. We can let you know who submitted the name on the prayer request. You can learn a little bit about that person. And maybe God will stir your heart to prompt you to make a phone call or send an email and reach out to this person. Is there a way that I can support you and encourage you today beyond the prayer that I've already said to you? Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We need to redeem that terminology. As I told the children this morning, to do what you say, to follow through, because this is God's will for all of his people. Paul closes this section in 1 Timothy chapter 2. By saying that he was a herald and an apostle. A herald is one who makes the announcement, and the apostle is one who goes out, the one who acts, the one who does ministry. I will live, we sang, to carry your compassion, to go out there and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Finally, in the book of Revelation, the revelation to the apostle John, he has this vision of heaven, and part of that vision includes the prayers of the saints rising up before God like incense. This reminds us, this teaches us that when we pray to God, this is a delight to God, a soothing aroma before God. God wants to hear his beloved children cry out to him, and he knows that when we cry out to him, he opens our heart in compassion toward others. For God desires all to be saved. Every person matters to God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for your apostle Paul. We thank you for calling him in his life, for changing his life around, and for his words of encouragement today to young Timothy as he encourages him to pray for all of earthly leaders. And so help us, O Lord, to take this call seriously, to lift our leaders up to you, recognize that it is your desire for your goodness to reign and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.